Today on Code Pen Radio.
Hey everybody, thanks for listening to Code Pen Radio. I believe this is episode number 63, kind of a classic episode where we are going to just talk about one of those developer-y topics, one of those things we're just going to dig into something that is important to our business and just talk about it. In this case, it's going to be the activity feed. We have an activity feed on CodePen. We'll define what that is and talk about it. It works for CodePen. It has kind of a specific feature there, but we got the idea from elsewhere, really. And it has a lot of benefit, perhaps some unexpected benefits, and I bet a lot of apps, whether you're a community app or not, could benefit from an activity feed. So that's what we're going to talk about a little bit. I have with me Alex Vasquez.
Hey there.
And Tim Sabbat.
That's me.
Our powers combined are CodePen. We are the three founders of CodePen, but now, in fact, just this morning as we're recording this, this won't go out for another week or so as it gets done, but we'll have six total employees, I think, by that point, right? And we'll have each of them on to introduce themselves on the show in good time. But
yeah,
we just welcomed Mr. Tim Holman this morning and started cracking on some new project stuff that we think you all are going to like. So that's interesting. That's the activity feed of the CodePen business.
This is a little activity feed action.
Yeah, stored in the DB.
Yeah, stored in our mental DB. The activity feed that we're talking about is at, like, when you log in to CodePen, if you have an account and you go to /username/activity, we call it the recent activity page. And on the design of CodePen, there's a little bell, you know, the bell being like notifications on pretty much every page of CodePen, you know, save a few pages. You can click on that bell and see, in the case of the bell's design at the moment, the sixth most recent activity things that have happened. What is an activity item? It's something like somebody hearted your pen. So you can choose to get an email about that, but if you don't want to, no matter what, it's going to show up in your recent activity. It will say, Joe Smith hearted your pen, and then link to the pen. So that's kind of an example of an activity item. Or somebody adds one of your pens to a collection, or you comment on someone else's thing. So it's incoming and outgoing. And there are all these little events that can happen. Any little thing that you can do on CodePen, you can think of an activity item. And this activity feed is just a list of all those things. It's just a list of you interacting with the app. So that's the thing. If somebody forks one of your pens, that's something that shows. I think that one shows up. If it doesn't, it should. So that's,
yeah,
another.
It does. I've been lackadaisical in some of the smaller actions. Like, for example, right now, if you heart a post, we don't track that, and we should, and we will probably by the end of today,
you
since we're doing
pen?
This podcast.
Oh, that's
yeah,
showing
no, pen. not a pen. If you heart a post at the moment,
a post, yeah, okay. So that, just think of the So let me read some of my actual most recent activity, which I can access from codepen.io/chriscoyer/activity. You can't view mine, by the way. That's a security situation there, just because it's a little private and stuff. Like, some of the stuff is exposed anyway, but some stuff we put in here about logging in and logging out and stuff, and we choose to kind of keep some of that stuff private, and we haven't put, honestly, like, mega hours into thinking about it, so we just kind of err on keeping it private for the most part. So some ones in mine: Shaw hearted your pen magazine layout attempt 2. That's a pen I made over the weekend, so somebody hearted it, and that's showed up as an activity feed. And it also says 2 minutes ago, so that happened super recently. Well, it says you hearted the pen Flame by Sarah Drasner, so I was around and I saw that pen and I was like, nice, like. Tao F. Lee commented on my pen, it says your pen, play button for YouTube. So I had a pen and they left a comment on it. Dawn Beard hearted your pen triangle with shadow. So that's an older pen I have, but still getting hearts because it's on my profile and it says 1 hour ago. Dawn Beard added your pen triangle with shadow to the collection Dawn Test. So she's made a collection with her own name and has added my pen to it. So that's all this type of stuff. And that's it. So that's the last five of them. I can also see, I can see those at /Chris Coyer/activity, but I can also see them on any other page that has the bell icon. If I go up there and click it, it will show me those same six at the top, and then there's a link to see all activity. So it just gives me a little barometer of what's going on the app. If somebody's interacting with me, and in fact, I should say, when you click the icon in the upper right, it only shows you incoming activity. It doesn't show you yours, because it's kind of like, we kind of assume that the incoming activity is more interesting than the outgoing, but the outgoing is interesting too. Like, I love this pen, but I can't remember what it was. You can always go back to your activity feed and look kind of by time. You're like, I remember it was yesterday. That would be a, you know, an easy thing to find in your activity feed. So there's so, it sounds so simple and it's so not.
Right. Yeah. I mean, even just down to remembering to track all the specific activities. Like, we've had blog posts for quite a while now, and I've completely forgot to track that activity. So for every single action you take, whether it's like saving a pen, deleting a pen, adding pens to collections, which is actually really cool. It's the only way you know someone's adding your pens to collection. Every little activity has to be tracked. The logic isn't difficult, but it is expansive. Like, there's a lot of activities to track. Tim actually pulled the number of records that we have in that table, which we have an activity table, and there's almost 10 million records there. So there's like 10 million different activities our users have done.
Right, and we haven't been tracking activities since the beginning of time either, have we? Like, this was a new-ish feature. Like, we didn't, did we launch with activity log?
No, we definitely did not.
Yeah, so this is only a portion of the time that CodePen's been around, too.
Sure, and that's pretty interesting to think about. And this is so, you know, step one is identifying all these activities that users could do, and we've kind of failed in that, you know. And this has been a long.
No, we overarchingly succeeded. There are just a few places where we didn't meet our goal. I'm not going to call it a failure.
Well, here's what's a failure about that. The issue open that says I would like to have activity feed stuff for when someone comments or hearts on one of my posts, I opened in like April of 2013.
Okay, so
it's been a while. We're gonna fix this up, because there's just more better stuff we can do with it. But that you know, that's step one. So if you're working on an activity feed for your app, you should make a pretty comprehensive list of all the things that you want to belong in the activity log, and then make some kind of service to deal with them, so that when these actions occur, you just kind of call the activity service and it does the job for you. I'm not even sure architecturally how you have all built it, so I'll let you kind of get into that. But the idea, I think even back in the WooFoo days, there was an activity feed. It's not a social app at all, but the activity feed on WooFoo, it was kind of support driven. The idea was, I would like to log into somebody's, if somebody says, oh, I this form disappeared. I had it in my account, but it's gone now. What happened? You fools, kind of thing. Well, you'd log into the account and say, oh, look, on March 5th, you deleted that. It's here in your activity log. Or somebody logged in as you and did it, because here it is. So I don't know if that was the 100% intention of it, but the point was kind of to help support. It was like, here's a list, you know, and we do this with deletions as well.
So that was a strong intent back then, especially if you have an app that has security roles too. That was pretty important for them. I think the deal with WooFoo was you could choose who could create, edit, update, and delete pens, or not pens, I'm sorry, but forms. And I guess in order for like strong record keeping, if you have a team of people and one of your forms disappears, it's good to know who.
Yeah,
who
it'll say Jack deleted that form.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jack.
Yeah, and I mean that it kind of just basically performed like an audit trail for WooFoo, and that's less important for us in our activity feed, because we usually I think it's mostly used to track all the social interactions on CodePen.
It is. It turned into being way more about social than it is about storing actions like that, but it's a side benefit for sure.
Yeah, it's great that that's been more of what's driven it, because that's way more interesting to us. Yeah. But There have been a few times where a user said, I have a pen missing, and I've been able to go back to the activity feed and say, hey, you deleted it. And like, they're like, I didn't delete it. We're like, well, someone with access to your account deleted your pen, and it didn't just vanish from our records. Like, we didn't mysteriously delete a pen, which is obviously a really big deal to CodePen. It's keeping those things around. So it's helped us debug those problems sometimes. And we do keep, so for example, if you log in and log out, just for the rainy, you know, terrible stormy day that we have to actually look at that, we do keep an IP address of you logged in from this IP address. And if we need to track it and we like, hey, someone, you know, from Baghdad logged into your account, but you live in Chicago, that's probably a nefarious account. You've been hacked in some way. We've never had to do that, and which is beautiful, but we have the ability to go back and take a look at those problems and track. So that makes us rest a little easier knowing that at the very least, if someone were to hack someone's account, we'd be able to have an audit trail of where they came from and the actions they took.
I think on a more positive note, if you keep track of logins and logouts, you're actually aware of active subscribers. And I think that like a VC would like to know like how regularly your users are active, or you might want to know that, for example. So like if you're keeping track of some of the stuff, sometimes it's useful for the user. Sometimes it's useful for security. Sometimes it's useful for you, for your own personal metrics. Like if 99% of your site logs in one time and never logs back in again, you might have a bit of a problem. Or conversely, if like someone's logging in, if a large portion of your site is logging in regularly, Facebook style, then you've got kind of a hot site. Congratulations.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it really does function as like analytics for what people are doing on your site. We haven't built out that part of CodePen, but we know that all that information's there, which is really nice to have for whenever we have the ability to start figuring out what people are doing on CodePen and when.
So let's track the life cycle of one of these just for a moment before we get into it. So I have a brand new one that just came in. Bally Ballo, hearted your pen, rotate through intermediate checkboxes. Another pen that I was working on for CSS Tricks this weekend. I was moving a demo over to CodePen. It's not a super interesting pen. It probably just showed up in their following or something like that. They clicked heart on it. So, okay. We send a request to the database, so it's hearted, you know. But then as that action fires, you've written some kind of code that stores this activity to the database. Now, is that – I know you have some interesting stuff here about how we save that to the database, so I guess maybe we'll track what are the possibilities there, and how is that service set up that logs this action?
Right. So you have a couple options on how to store this information. So one simple option that you have is you can just basically store the action that the user took at the time as like kind of a simple string. Like if you want to maybe classify that action and say, well, someone hearted a pen, we're going to call that action type of heart. And then we're going to store a simple string that says, you know,
So you'd store it as literally as an HTML string, probably, because we'd have
right. You could store an HTML string or just a string that you can prettify when you take out of the
database. And do you store it to my database or their database or both?
Well, so here's how we do it. So I'm saying that that's a theoretical of how we could do it. But that has a problem in the sense of if you were to store that simple string, that information could become stale. Like if you update your username or you change the name of the pen,
or
if
we
store
URL structure.
The name of the pen, right? If you change the name of the pen, and we stored, you know, Joe hearted your pen, I love SVG, and then you update the title of the pen, that's going to be an outdated activity. So we don't do that. We have one table, the activity log table, and that table basically stores foreign key IDs in our database that point to all the items involved. So we will have a user ID of the user who took the action. We'll have the user ID of the user that you took the action on, if that person's involved. And then we'll also have the ID of the item that's involved. So for CodePen, we call it an item because it's like a generic term for pens, posts, and collections. So when that user hearts your pen, we store the ID of the pen that they hearted, and we give it an item type of, like, say, for example, heart.
So it's kind of raw data. It's just like, and heart action happened. These were the people involved, and this was the pen involved, and that's it.
Yeah, it's a very simple key value pair as a table. We store those IDs because it's easier for us to, it's not easier, but it's more accurate for us to store those IDs because those IDs never change internally inside of CodePen. So when you actually see the sentence that Joe hearted your pen, we're actually looking up the pen with the ID and looking up Joe's name with the ID.
And it gives us we can template it too. We can say, okay, that's an activity item that happened, and we're going to transform that into a sentence on the fly.
Yeah. We'll basically transform those sentences on the fly. We can update the copy because all we're doing is just looking up objects in our database according to the IDs that we stored in the activity log. And somehow through the magic of like amazing modern day databases, you can look up hundreds and hundreds of different objects in a very quick way and then render the activity feed page. Like if you were to look at Chris Corey's activity feed page, you're probably going to look up several hundred users and pens at the same time on that page. And it's just done very quickly with the database. So we're able to like render all those things. Tim would cringe at this if he saw the number of queries going on behind the scenes in the activity log page, but there might be like 300 or 400 queries.
We need to have a talk, Alex.
Where if you did the sentence technique, you wouldn't have to run that many queries. You'd just ask for the sentences and you'd display them on the screen.
Exactly. It'd be incredibly simple to do. So those are the kind of trade-offs that you have. And at the moment, I like the accuracy of what we do. I don't like the complexity of having to deal with it myself. It's probably the reason I haven't closed that issue since April. But
It's rough. Keep saying that, and here's an example of why it's rough, is because so you're trying to craft a sentence based on this very, very simple data that we store in the database, right? And there's lots of different actions. So each of these actions has a different kind of sentence that gets structured. But that sentence isn't just, oh, I see, I'm looking at my own activity feed, so I'm just going to say you at the beginning of the sentence when it's an action that I've taken. But if it's an action that somebody else took on me, then I need to put their name and link to their profile. So there's like a little bit of fork, whether it's incoming or outgoing action. And then teams factor into this too. So we need to see, is this team-related activity? And if it is, does it matter what member of that team did it? Well, it does if you're looking at your own team's activity, but if somebody else is looking at a team, like a team hearts one of your pens, it shouldn't say which member of that team. It should probably just say team code pen hearted your pen. So it ends up being this like slew of logic, whether you need to use the word you or your or my or what. So like the English structure of these things requires a lot of like in template logic that is kind of, in my opinion, a nightmare.
I was thinking about this earlier, guys. Like, I feel like there's a happy medium between both of these, and that is creating the sentence with placeholders and storing that in the DB when the thing is done, right? So, like, you guys can still do your lookups and, like, make 300 queries if you want to. But the sentence, the prose itself, is predetermined. It's just that where you've got a placeholder or a template there that you'd fill in for each one of those things. That way you don't have to think about it at the rendering time. You just have to do the lookups and replace the values.
I really like that idea. And in fact, as we move forward with this, we probably should act on it of some kind of way. Because so what about my question that, like, does it store it to – does it store two actions when somebody likes a pen? Does it store it in mine and theirs? Or is there one entry that is attached for both of us?
You know? Oh, I didn't understand that question at first, but now I get it. It's like What is the what are the columns called, Alex? Is it like user ID and other user ID?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a very young Alex. Yeah, so in our case, we would actually store one activity, right? One we'll have one record in the activity log where it'll say, you know, you hearted X's pen, and it'll have Chris's ID, and then it'll also have the other person's ID. So when Chris is looking at his activity log, we search on both, you know, user ID and other user ID for Chris's internal user.
Well, so it is only one entry in the database then.
Yeah, there's only one entry in the database.
But so we can't really do the sentence thing then, because the sentence structure is totally different depending on who needs to get that action.
Well, I was thinking about, I mean, even if you stored like both sides of the coin as two different columns, right? And it just depends on like who's viewing the thing. Like you, it just, all I'm trying to solve for is the pros problem. So if we had two columns and it would be like yours and theirs, if we're going to use that same sort of nomenclature, then you've stored the sentence structure depending on the view, the viewer, I guess, of the sentence.
That could work. If it was, we just stored multiple versions of the sentence if we needed to. Potentially. Yes,
yeah, essentially. You just have to determine the point of view, I guess. Yeah. It's complicated. I don't know.
It's almost like you end up putting a little bit of that template logic into what you save in the database, because we have a lot of like kind of special logic for that. Like Chris was saying, like if you're on a team and you're in the context of a team on CodePen, but you comment on someone's pen, we still show the individuals commenting. And we'll record that as such, but we won't do the same thing when you're hearting a pen. You know, we'll say Team CodePen hearted your pen, not Alex Vasquez hearted your pen. So there's a, I don't know, we'd have to kind of test it out and get a feel for it, but that does feel like there might be a happy medium. At the moment, I believe we've done the most difficult thing, but the most accurate thing.
Right, yeah, yeah.
So, you know, if we back off the complexity, we'll be a little bit happier and we'll have the best of both worlds.
Yeah, there's that. I mean, there's also the idea that we're literally still storing all this stuff. We're going to be talking, I'm sure, in a second about like how we could improve this from a data standpoint. If we just let this stuff expire slightly, I mean, I don't think we need 9 million records in there.
Well, that's another thing too. And I think most apps that store an activity feed might have like primary activities of some kind that we've deemed are important and should last forever, and some kind of expiry ones. Like you save a month or 2 months maybe of activity of who hearted what, and then that stuff just kind of disappears at the end.
Yeah, I read about Facebook having like three levels of data, like hot, warm, and cold data. And I guess this kind of works the same way. Stuff you care about and then stuff ultimately that people like rarely ever look up. And that's like, did I log in 4 years ago? You know, do we care about that? Or do we care about, you know, activity that happened so long ago?
We'd keep some fun ones, like when you signed up for CodePen, that's the very first activity thing that gets logged. You might as well keep that, you know?
Right.
Yeah, definitely. And we've talked about that. At the moment, we're so simple in how we do things. We keep everything in one table. But like, you could imagine a day where we basically have an archive script that runs every night and says, hey, everything older than 6 months that's not that important, like, for example, logging in, logging out, just gets moved to another table. That's just gets put on like what we'd consider code storage or whatever.
Yeah, I mean,
but we're not actively reading from that table, you know?
And some stuff should just outright be pruned. I mean, I was looking at the thing. Pen update is the most common action. Like, and yeah, that's 3.17 million pen updates. Like, I think after your 700th save on the thing, you don't care about your first save, right? Or you don't care. Yeah. So there are definitely some things. Love, you should absolutely keep. Pen new, maybe not, you know? Like, I'm just looking down this list to see which things actually matter. We've got pen update, like in the order of most commonly done. It's pen update, love, pen new, login, pen details, pen fork, collection, pen delete, join, log out, follow, comment. I mean, it starts to, pen update is like 10 times more common than the other ones, but it's the least important one out of these. You care about your last few updates, but you do not care about 200 updates ago, I don't think.
Right, definitely. And yeah, that's really interesting. It's interesting when you actually look at the raw numbers of the like 9.9 million that we have. You know, a third of that is basically someone updating their pen, and we track that information. So it's like, how relevant is that after, you know, X number of saves?
Right.
This 10 million number seems light to me. It seems like something's weird. I mean, it's a lot, but it's like there's nearly 5 million pens on CodePen. I know a lot that includes anonymous ones too. So that's, you know, weird. But there's been 1.7 million hearts given, and each one of those gives two, right? Because there's two actions.
No, each one of those is one.
Oh, it's one. Record. It's one. But still, and then pen updates. So we're down to 8 million already. And pen updates, like every time somebody clicks update, that's only happened 8 million times on CodePen. I mean, that's a lot of times, but still, it seems weird. Anyway, something's weird. Something's funky.
Or not. but yeah, I don't know. There's also some stuff we did here with data, which is just insane. Like, I was just looking at the way we've stored this. We stored, like, 5 different fields as varchar 255. That means like we're storing up to 255 characters when we write in, for example, the word love.
Because in one entry to that table, there's a bunch of sub things, and they're all varchar 255. Or
so that's the problem. Yeah, there's like 10 columns on this table, and 5 of those columns are just absolutely wasted space. I did the calculation, and we could reduce this table in size by 96%. Right now it's 2.6 gigs. If we did this reduction, it would be 107 megabytes big. Like, the next thing I'm doing after we get off this podcast is fixing this table structure, because it's absolutely insane.
So if varchar 255 is a string of whatever that's 255 characters long, can you guarantee that the things are shorter than that? Are some of them like absolutely we know they're going to be, I don't know, a maximum of 100 long, so you can make it a varchar 100? Is that how that
in our case we choose these values, you know? So it's like literally a value in action called love that we chose, right? So if you could literally shorten that down to one character, you could make it L.
Yeah,
we wouldn't,
right?
But we could, you know? And so these kind of actions could vastly reduce the size of this table without affecting the end user at all.
And does the size of the table make things a little faster, makes things a little cheaper?
Well, it's tons of that kind of stuff. Like when, for example, I skip this table entirely when we do a database backup for ourselves, like when we pull down that minimum DB, that process, because this table's gigantic. And because of the number of inserts that happen when you import this, it takes ages and ages and ages to import this table, and it means nothing to us from a debug perspective. So I skip it. But if we had reduced this to down to 107 megabytes, it wouldn't be that big a deal to pull down or to run again, because it's not that much data moving around.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, which is amazing that you found that just in, like, it was in prep work for this podcast, which is it's kind of
that's
a
why we do there. This podcast, so we get some freaking work done around here.
No, it's just I say we didn't do it that long ago, but we did it pretty long ago. You and I have learned a few tricks between then and now, Alex, so good for us. I'm glad we can identify this.
Yeah, it's part of the history of us choosing the 255 character varchar is the fact that we're Rails developers at this point, and we basically took the default Rails column width. Yeah. So there you go. Like, that's something you might want to consider if you're a Rails developer. So set some custom width there.
Yeah. I mean, in fact, if you use UTF-8 MB4, we did that podcast about the DB stuff, you'll actually shoot yourself in the foot if you choose the default, because it's wider than your ability to index that page. That should be 191 right there at the very least. But that's some wonkery. Go back and listen to the DB episode if you really want to understand what I'm saying, or don't, because it might just be too boring.
Sorry, no. Guys. Yeah. So that, you know, we might even use the word technical debt to describe some of this templating. So I mean, you should see I'm looking at our templating world, our, you know, the views for each activity item, and it's like there's 30 of them in here, and they're all little partials, and they're all little partials that call other little partials in order to try to keep, you know, which is sometimes fine, but it's like there's so much logic in here that we could, you could tell we were kind of losing our minds trying to put this all together, and it's not that much better. And it's no wonder that we're kind of, in a sense, scared of this area, because adding new ones seems to just be adding more debt on top of this. And so I think we should, you know, this has been on the table for quite a while now. Our, like, can we rethink this? I you know, it seems like that's worth discussing, this sentence structure kind of thing. So if we do something drastic, we'll let you know. But it's important enough that even if we can't solve that problem right away, that we need to get more activity in for the different types of actions, because people are wanting it and expecting it to. And then the future of this stuff is, what else kind of cool stuff can we extract from this? If we do a bunch of work in here, is it just fixing it architecturally, or can we do more? For example, I think it would be, this might be our way into kind of like an activity, an opt-in kind of activity email. So like run a query, pull the last week of activity, and then like combine it. Be like, you know, send someone an email that said, you know, 8 people liked this pen this week, kind of thing. Like, make a interesting summary of your week on CodePen that I know people enjoy. Like, I've been a Flickr member forever, and I actually enjoy every week they send me one email that said, "Oh, these people liked this photo of yours," and they kind of aggregate the activity that happens to you, and this data is here to use for that. We just got to ask for it and put it together into an interesting format.
Yeah, that's super neat. I'd like to see that myself. I know Slack does that kind of thing too. What's changed, or how many, you know, how has your conversation style changed? How many new users were added? All that kind of stuff. I find those to be pretty fascinating. I haven't removed them. Like, I haven't like unsubscribed for them.
Oh, this is where this is where that data is. This is where we would get it.
Yep, totally.
All right. So good talk, team. Good meeting. Good meeting. I guess we were recording this. We have some, they are not sponsoring this particular podcast, but the last few weeks we had a Full Story sponsor the podcast, and I finally integrated it on CodePen, and I did it in kind of the, an interesting way. I just had it like record every thousandth visitor to the editor to see what's going on. And I knew this app was awesome because I've seen demos and I've learned about how it works and I've played with the UI of it. And it's like, wow, this is a super nice app. But now that we're actually recording doing some user testing with Full Story, it's like amazing. It's such a cool app. And we're going to start doing some stuff where, like, you know, it's kind of on you where you choose to record at the moment. Where do you load up the Full Story JavaScript that does it? And it's like, oh, we have all these ideas for, you know, should we have it be like, maybe we should start it to recording the activity feed and see how people interact with that particular page. How long do they stay on it? What do they click on when they come here? That type of thing. Like, does anybody paginate it? You know, if nobody ever paginates their recent activity, we probably have figured out that we don't need to keep that long of it. That type of thing. So anyway, they didn't sponsor it this time, but they did the last two podcasts. So thanks again to Full Story and the CodePen job board. Of course, there's just as we spoke, there's another job on there. So if you looked at the CodePen job board this morning, but not in the last hour, there might be something new already. It seems like you should probably get the RSS feed for it, which exists in the sidebar of it. So sponsored by CodePen, and we have lots of future shows lined up, including talking with some of our new employees, which should be pretty interesting, as well as just other tech topics. So, all right, until next time, folks. See you later.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, everybody.
See ya.
9 7 1 3 2 9 7 6 0 3 1 8